to Hebron, and it never ceases to amaze me to see the people back again. And we're going to be enjoying that, God willing, for the next wee while. It took something to get used to for 3.5 months, preaching to an empty church. But it's lovely to see you here today in God's house. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to come into his presence with thanksgiving. And as we do so, we sing together the hymn 300. It's a lovely hymn. My God, I have found the thrice blessed ground, where life and where joy and true comfort abound. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Pardon me. So it's number 300. We keep our seats, and hopefully you'll be able to see it on the screen. Everybody able to see it okay with the sunlight shining on the screen? Okay. Amen.
Thank you. think of the once offered lamb, we come to read Psalm 22. It's our psalm for today. Psalm 22. This is the psalm of the cross. It is a photograph, someone has said, of the last hours of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some who go as far to say it's likely that Jesus quoted this psalm, all of it, upon the cross when he was hanging there outside the city walls for our sin. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. And I am a worm and a no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Verse 16. Their dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. And then two other verses, 27 and 28. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. We thank God for his word today and for this great 22nd Psalm. And we're going to bow together in prayer in the light of it. Trust the Lord has made it a blessing to you. And the hymn that was sung together, we've been led to Christ, we've been led to his death, his substitutionary work, the fact that he is our surety that stood in our place. And we come with rejoicing in these things and many other blessings and mercies that God has bestowed upon us as we come to the house of God today. Father in heaven, we bow humbly in thy presence here in the house of God at this worship service. We come before thee, a needy people. We come by the way of the blood of Christ. We seek nothing to ourselves, but we get our view in Christ, our mediator and surety. And we thank thee for the once offered lamb. We thank thee that this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. We have a living Savior who was exalted far above all, and it is in his name and upon his merit that we seek thee now. And we thank thee that we are accepted in him. We thank thee, Lord, as we come to appear in the presence of God, that thou dost look at us through thine own dear Son, and we are accepted because of thy well-beloved Son. And we pray for your presence. We pray that thou would cast away those things that would in some way inhibit the Lord coming among us. We know, Lord, that that's our sin. We know that our sin separates us from God, causes him to hide his face, removes his favorable presence. But, Lord, we pray that thou wilt deal with our sin, wash us in the blood of the Lamb, and make us fit for this season of worship. Cover this meeting in your protection. We know that there are forces at work who would seek to disturb worship times, who would seek to thwart us in our Christian lives, who would stop us going on with God if possible. We know of the work of the devil himself, We wrestle not against flesh and blood only, but, Lord, we know that we wrestle against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. But, Father, we thank Thee that in the midst of that wrestling there is that power from on high. There is the Lord Himself who comes and gives us grace, gives us divine enablement, gives us power to overcome these things. And so we pray that Thou wilt help us to live in the victory and to know that victory right now here in the house of God. And we thank Thee for Your grace to us this Sabbath day, that grace that even finds us here in the house of the Lord. Thank Thee for every individual that is here and every family that is represented. And Lord, Thou seest us, and Lord, You know us personally, and You know our needs today. And we thank Thee that Thou art a great God, able to meet us at the point of our need. Thank Thee for the opportunity that we had already this morning to speak to that little group of people in Pakistan. And we pray that You'll bless Your word. May it not return to Thee void as Thou hast promised. Remember our students also who have responsibilities today. We think of David as he preaches in Limavady this morning. Think of Jonathan this afternoon and his responsibilities here in the town. We think of Joshua. Thank the Lord that he's graduated on to become an able minister of Christ, and You've opened a door of service there in Bangor for him. And we pray that Thou will bless him as he ministers the word. Remember Alex in these days as he and his wife and family seek to make preparation for the future, and in the will of God later this year go to the land of Spain to take up the work of God there. Remember Armin in Greenville. We thank Thee for Your servant there, and we pray that You'll bless his ministry and own it in a very powerful way in that place. Remember Noreen as she serves the Lord in Uganda, our brother the Reverend Hannah in Spain. We commit them all into Your hands. We pray for Your presence now to be real and in the midst of this gathering. Pour out the Holy Spirit of God upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we welcome everyone to the house of God. And if you're visiting with us, and we have a few that don't normally meet with us or didn't normally meet with us 3.5 months ago, we're glad to see you. And we trust that God will bless you here. If you're listening in on Sermon Audio and Facebook, we also welcome you. Some of you not able to get out with us just yet, but we understand that, and we trust that you will know the blessing of God where you are. Do you remember tonight's meeting, the gospel service at 7 o'clock? I want to speak on the salvation of the greatest sinner. So come along and pray with us, please, through the afternoon for tonight's service. Thursday night is the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study at 8 o'clock, and we will come to a conclusion in Psalm 40 that we've been studying this past number of Thursday nights. Come to the last verse. Now, if you were listening this morning, we put out another little video. We hope to do that once a week now over the summertime. And we dealt with this verse. We're going to elaborate upon it that little bit more on Thursday night, God willing. Friday night, there's a presbytery meeting that has been called, and that will take place in Martyrs Memorial with social distancing. So remember that, please, members of the session that are here. Next Lord's Day, our worship service, 12 noon. I hope to be here to preach. The gospel meeting at 7, and we're having a special testimony next Sunday night, Greg Gibson. Greg will be over for a few days at the weekend, and we've asked him to give a personal word of testimony next Sunday night. So pray for him as he comes, and Rebecca too, and their family. We want to thank you for your tithes, your offerings, building fund, Let the Bible Speak, missionary covenants, school covenants, and so forth, the gifts that you've sent in. And we are encouraging you to continue using transfers if that's possible. That helps the treasurer. And there are collection plates at the exit as you leave. Now, Rachel McCauley, she had a significant birthday this week. I got to hear about that this morning, and she has celebrated that. So we congratulate Rachel on 3 decades in this life. Trust the Lord will bless her. Remember the Holiday Bible Clubs. Children, you can sign up for this. This is the ones organized by the Mission Board, and these will be going out in the mornings of the 20th to the 24th of July. And if you're interested in that, maybe you could get your name to us, and we'll get you more details. We continue to pray for those on the frontline services, serving the Lord in our hospitals in these days. We continue to remember the sick before the throne of grace, that the Lord will continue to bless them and heal them and restore them. And we remember our missionaries both at home and abroad as they serve Christ in various parts of the world. Just very quickly, and you may not be able to see it because of the sunshine. No, it's not going to be good. Those that are listening in on sermon audio and Facebook, you'll see this more clearly. But this was the food aid at Emmanuel Christian School. Its delivery to the school and then sorting it out into all these packages and getting it ready for distribution. And these families then from the two villages beside the school were able to come in and receive some food aid at this time. The feeding of the orphans in India has commenced, and these were the last children of the 70 to receive their food parcels. And they've been very happy to get this little love gift from the folks here in Northern Ireland. With the opportunity last week to speak to Freya Sunday School class in Pakistan, we told you last Thursday night that all of the children got a little gift and they went home very happy. So, not sure if you can see these or not, but here's it's a picture of an unfinished room that needs to be plastered and finished off. And this is the room. In fact, there's two rooms and a little, I think a little kitchen or maybe it's a bathroom beside it that Freya is going to be able to use for the women's meetings and the sewing club that they have, the Tharatara sewing ministry that they organize, and also the Sunday school. And we have given the go-ahead for it to be rented for 4 months so that they can gather in this place and have that freedom. Up until now, because they were thrown out of the building where they met, the Muslims threw them out and they couldn't meet, they were gathering on top of Freya's house on the flat roof. And in Pakistan, you can imagine, the weather is very, very hot and it's just difficult to conduct meetings in such high temperatures. Our sister Deep continues to bring the gospel to the tribal areas of Pakistan. She herself comes from a Hindu background, and we're thankful for what she's doing, traveling to these places hundreds of kilometers from her own home every week to bring the gospel and then just to provide a little meal at the end for these hungry families. I had the opportunity this morning to preach to these tribal people in Pakistan. These are just photographs, and again, it may not be very clear to you, but these are photographs that are taken on the screen, so they're not that clear. But two men confess Christ as Savior, and a lady as well this morning. And although the communication over the internet failed a time or two, our sister came back online. She says, "Will you pray for these men who have just confessed Christ as their Savior? Please pray for the container project. That project is underway. The quotations here, the payment will be made, and in 30 days from the moment they receive the payment, this shower and toilet block for the poor and Roma people of Moldovanoa will be delivered. That's the understanding. And we're hoping to get this container here out, at least the contents of it, in the very near future." Telling the folks on Thursday night there was exciting news about the work of God that Paul and Marina Briggs are involved in, and the exciting news about the commentary that has just been produced on Ephesians. So Paul and Marina say, "We have just received 100 copies of a new 250-page commentary on the book of Ephesians in the Loran language. It has taken years of work to get to this point, and we are thrilled that the Loran Bible teachers now have another resource to help them as they teach biblical truth to the Loran people. We are trusting that the Lord will use this effort to help the Loran believers grow and mature in their walk with Him. This book is entitled The Unsearchable Riches of Christ, taken from Ephesians 3, verse 8, where Paul says, 'Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.' We are hoping to be able to make a trip to the Ivory Coast in a couple of months to deliver these books, along with lots of other Bible and literacy materials. that we have been developing. Thank you for your prayers for this project. We are now working on a commentary for the book of Galatians, and that's the one that has been produced on Ephesians. We come again to worship God as we sing together 557. When you feel weakest, dangers surround, subtle temptations, troubles abound. Nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad. All is despairing, oftentimes sad. Keep on believing. Jesus is near. Alex and Ruth as well, visiting with us this weekend from such a far distance. Welcome in the Savior's name. Come to the reading of the Scriptures. We're coming back to the series that we've been doing for a little time on King Asa, and we're turning to 2 Chronicles 16. Going to read the opening 10 verses. Second Chronicles 16. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha king of Israel came up against Judah and built Ramah, to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon, and Dan, and Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah, and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a large host, a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Then Asa was wroth with the seer, and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. Ending a reading there at the 10th verse. May the Lord bless it to us all for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Father, as we meditate for this little time in your word, speak to us. We pray for attentiveness of heart, understanding of mind, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, our great teacher. Draw alongside every individual here, young and old, and help the preacher to bring the message today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're coming to think about Asa, the faltering king. And this is message 6, and I'm not confident that we're going to get through it all today, but we can always come back to it next Lord's Day. Our meetings are to be a little bit shorter, and we do want to include a couple of hymns to sing in the worship of God. As we come to the final scenes of Asa's life and ministry, the last few years of his reign, we're going to witness a chapter of sadness and decline and a great man. Asa reigned for 40 years, and he's now in the 36th year of his reign, as we read in verse 1. We're going to learn things about this dear man that I wish that I didn't have to say about him. But the finger of God wrote the mistakes of his dearest and his most eminent servants, and we have such recorded for us in the Bible. God does not gloss over these errors. He does not brush them to the one side. He does not overlook their sin or ignore what they did. He does not certainly leave it out of the divine record. Asa failed in two areas of his life in his latter years. He failed in a time of war, and he failed in a time of illness. As we approach such a sad little history, do not lose sight of the man of God that he was. Keep in mind the testimony that God has already written about him. I think that's important to do that. Back in chapter 14 and verse 2, you remember, he did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Do not forget, he was a man of reformation, a man of revival, a man of restoration, a man who was mightily used of God after two evil men had occupied the throne. He was used by the Lord in a dark age of spiritual declension and apostasy. He was a man of obedience who obeyed the Lord. He was a man of prayer who approached unto God. He was a man of faith who believed God, a man of principle, a man of wisdom, a man of prosperity. And an overall summary of his life is given in chapter 15 and verse 17 that I want you just to note in passing, where it says there at the end of the text, "Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days." So that's a little summary. If you think of the whole life of this man, the Lord has put it into the word just to remind us about the kind of a man that he really was. The reign of Asa was particularly blessed with peace and tranquility. By and large, what we read in chapter 14 and verse 6, how that the land had rest and there was no war in those years, was true of his 40-year reign. Only twice was that reign interrupted by war, and these battles were relatively short. They didn't span over decades as many wars did. The first war was with Zerah, the Ethiopian. Back in chapter 14, verse 9 to 15 gives us the record of that. And the second war was with Baasha, king of Israel, these 10 verses that we have read together. How differently were these wars fought? The first time, he was a man of God who trusted in the Lord, confiding implicitly upon the Lord, looking with godly confidence to the one who could help and give him the victory. Chapter 14 and verse 11 reminds us of that. Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, "Lord, it's nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee." And the Lord wrought a mighty victory on that occasion. Alas, in this second war, we do not read about a king trusting in the Lord. We do not read about a man praying or confiding or leaning on the Lord. No, the opposite is true. He fails miserably. He gets his eyes off the Lord, and he enters into an evil alliance with the ungodly. He doesn't pray, he doesn't trust, he doesn't rely. Even when God, in mercy, sends a faithful man to rebuke him, instead of taking the message to his heart and humbling himself and confessing his sin and turning to the Lord again, he persecuted the man of God with vindictiveness and cruelty. How sad and disappointing is the conclusion of this man's life, coming to the end of his years in defeat and failure and misery. Years of prosperity did not make Asa a better man. He forgot the Lord and he put his trust in man. As we ponder over this history and read carefully the account given and mourn over the fall of one of the mightiest saints, we are to take heed. Let him that thinketh he standeth Take heed, lest he fall. One of the saddest realities in this history of some of the great and godly men is their departure and their decline in latter years. And so we must learn to be vigilant. Every day, dear child of God, we need to be vigilant. We must learn that the most godly and used men can fail and fall, as Asa did and many others like him. We must learn just because we are able to face one battle aright and gain the victory, that that may not always follow when we come to the next battle and the next war. We also must learn, if God sends a messenger to rebuke us when we find ourselves in error and in sin, we should listen. Asa certainly didn't do that. And we should also learn to guard the latter years of our Christian walk and witness. For there are many who fall and fail in their latter years. It's not the first mile, as someone has said. It's the last mile that really counts. It's not how we commenced the journey, but how we concluded that is so important. I could tell you about the greatest champions in the service of God, the holiest saints that ever walked in this earth, the mightiest tools in the hand of the Almighty, men that God used and blessed and empowered and made successful, and yet they came to a sorry end in their earthly pilgrimage. Noah, Gideon, Samson, Solomon, and here, King Asa. We could speak of preachers who went off the rails in their latter years, ministers who took a faithful stand, preached with power, saw a great work of God done, were mightily used by the Lord, but they became corrupted in their old age. Some went after false doctrine. Some fell into immoral sins. Some compromised their stand for the truth of God. And so over the life of Asa is written, take heed lest you fall. God wants us to learn. And he has solemn lessons to teach us and searching truths to imprint upon our minds and hearts. I want you to notice, and I'm not sure if we get any further than this first point, but I want you to notice, first of all, the iniquitous alliance. And we read it there in verse 2 through to verse 4 of chapter 16. Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. Baasha, the ungodly king of the northern kingdom, had initiated a feud with Asa in the southern kingdom. Now remember, these men belonged to the same nation. They were the children of Israel. They were a people chosen by God, and they were privileged above all others in the earth. Now, not every Israelite was a true believer, I have to say that. Many of them were godless men, including many of the kings. Nevertheless, they were the same nation before God. And so Baasha should never have embarked upon such an errand. He was wrong to fight against his brother. The Bible is clear in this matter. But he did. How did Asa react? How did he respond to this situation? How did he face this difficult issue? Did he pray about it? Did he seek the mind of the Lord? Did he trust as he had done previously? Did he confide in the Lord? Because that's what he did before. You remember what we read there in chapter 14 and verse 11, how he cried to the Lord and confided in the Lord and trusted in him implicitly. But this was far from his response now. Asa trusted in the ungodly. He not only trusted in a heathen king and army, and he did that, but chiefly he failed to trust in God at all. It's bad enough that he would trust in the ungodly and maybe at the same time say he was trusting in God, but he didn't trust in God at all. There was no prayer. There was no calling upon the name of God in his trouble. There was no drawing near to the throne. There was no coming boldly to the throne of grace and mercy. Do you see how this man begins to falter greatly? What did he do? Well, let me mention some of the things that he did. He made a league with a heathen king. He entered into an agreement with the ungodly. And remember, Asa was a true child of God. The credentials are clear as far as the record is concerned. The Bible tells us the kind of a man that he was, how that he was a man that walked with God. And yet he's entering into this league with a heathen king. Furthermore, he bribed an ungodly man to break an agreement that he held with Baasha. Baasha had not wronged Ben-Hadad in any way. Public alliances are not to be made so cheap and so worthless. And this man is so willing to break this league because he's being bribed. By the way, it has been said, those who bribe and those bribed are not to be depended upon. Money will dissolve the most solemn league. For gold, men will sell their votes, their consciences, and themselves. It has also been said there is a lawful use of money for educational purposes, to encourage industry, arts, and sciences, to relieve distress and advance the cause of God. Rightly used, money answereth all things. But there is an unlawful use of money, used for selfish ends, to frustrate right and bribe men to wrong. It is one of the mightiest rulers, one of the most popular gods in the world. The unlawful use of money becomes a curse. But against duty, virtue, and God, its power is pernicious. It breaks up alliances, prepares for temptation, corrupts human nature, and influences to injustice. And here's a king who had walked with the Lord, and now he's bribing an ungodly man to break an agreement that he held with Baasha. But you notice that he took gold and silver out of God's house to use for this wicked purpose. He plundered the temple, the house of God, for his own carnal policies. He would have been better bringing his gifts and his offerings, his prayers and his supplications to God's house, and seeking to engage the Lord to be on his side rather than what he did here. But it seems that he would rather have Ben-Hadad as his friend than have God as his friend and on his side. And then he caused an ungodly army of Ben-Hadad to smite cities of Israel and probably shed blood and plunder the spoils of his brother's kingdom. You see how low men can stoop to when they get out of touch with God. They'll trust in the Lord. They'll look to man. And then also he missed the opportunity of a great victory over Baasha and Ben-Hadad that the Lord would have given him if he had trusted in the Lord. This passage of Scripture brings that out so clearly when we think of the messenger that was sent to him. Now, there's lessons to glean from this history which should not be overlooked. We should not make an agreement with the ungodly, especially when that agreement is going to hurt some brother or some sister in Christ, or damage the work of our blessed Savior and his kingdom. We do not break up alliances and agreements and friendships between others without a cause, as was the case with Asa. If there is a biblical reason why a friendship or a partnership should be severed, that's a different thing. We stand, of course, in this church for the equal yoke, both when it comes to married life and when it comes to ecclesiastical friendships and fellowships. So when people come together as a couple, they ought, if they're a Christian, come together in the Lord. We believe that they should be equally yoked together, someone that is saved marrying someone that is saved. And there's one of the yellow meter sticks being used, maybe. Well, I hope not. Maybe they're breaking up a friendship. We hope not. But anyhow, we stand for the equal yoke. And when it comes to ecclesiastical fellowship as well, we stand that we should have fellowship with those of like precious faith. We are not to be united or yoked together with the unbelievers, as the Scripture teaches. We are to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. We stand for spiritual unity on biblical grounds, according to the teachings of God's Word. But we also believe in separation. Asa should never have made an alliance with the ungodly. I just want to pause to remind you and I today that we need to guard our relationships. We need to watch our friendships. We need to be wary of our alliances. And most importantly, we need to protect and keep safe the work of Jesus Christ. This church must do God's work and do it God's way. We must not enter into evil alliances with falsehood in order to gain prosperity. We must not align ourselves with the unfruitful works of darkness in order to advance. We must not sign up to arrangements with the world and the ungodly so that we might secure our positions and our places. Many have done so in the Lord's work, to their cost, to their downfall, disappointment, and doom. Yes, some of them had apparent success. They gained the masses. They achieved their goals. They saw what seemed to be prosperity, but it was not of God. It didn't have God's stamp of approval upon it. It didn't obtain the smile of heaven or the blessing of God. It was wrong. It was carnal. It was fleshly. It was doomed to shame and failure. And that's why this church, by the grace of God, has taken a stand against the modern day decline when it comes to spiritual matters, the spiritual apostasy that we see all around us in this world, and taken our stand since our inception in 1951. Union with Rome, joining with councils of churches, following the path of the charismatics has not been the policy of this church. We do not seek prosperity, popularity, preferment, fame or favor by teaming up with the ungodly. And yet we see in the life of this man what he had done. Now I'm going to leave the message there because our meetings are to last around 50 minutes or so. And we'll come back to it. We will come back to this next point, the infamous achievement, because things seem to be achieved in verses 5 and 6 with this alliance that was made. Well, we will see it didn't have the blessing of God upon it. Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank Thee for Your Word. We thank Thee for the things that we learn, even in the mistakes of godly men in the Bible. We think of Asa and the many years that he lived for God and how he brought reformation to the land after such ungodly reigns, those two ungodly reigns prior to his coming to the throne. And yet revival came under his ministry. And he restored so many things when it came to true religious life. And yet now, in the latter period of his reign, the latter few years of his ministry, he goes into a state of spiritual decay, enters into alliances that he should not have. And Lord, we are to take heed. We're to learn. Help us to watch every day, young people and older people alike, just to watch and to guard ourselves. Keep us, Lord, unspotted from the world. Keep us separated unto Christ. Help us to walk in this life prayerfully, diligently, trusting in the Lord, confiding implicitly in Him. Help us indeed to put on the whole armor of God. And we look to Thee to keep us from falling, and to present us faultless before the presence of God's glory with exceeding joy on the great day. Dismiss us now in Your fear and with Your love upon us, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us today. And as I said earlier, so glad to see you in the house of God. Go home with the word of the Lord in your heart. Meditate upon this passage of Scripture and think about it, and we'll come back to it in the will of God next Sabbath day. The stewards will show you when, or tell you when you're able to leave. We'll go out in a way that keeps you safe.